if you have your butt cheeks showing, there's a consequence to you and your community around you as well. If a woman walks into a church exposing bits and bobs that they're not supposed to, she unfortunately, as a consequence, certain men are gonna last, are gonna desire.
Gents, welcome back to another episode of POV. My name is Chin, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host Fatsani and Pro Nick. As you can see, we're still in a foreign land. We're not back in our studios yet. That's fine. We wander like the Israelites, but we know Canaan is waiting for us.
Amen.
Okay. So today we're gonna dive straight in and talk about modesty in 2024. But before we dive in, I just want to remind our listeners that if you haven't already subscribed, please think about doing so. Especially if you're a returning viewer. I mean, you're back for a reason, right? So you might as well subscribe. If you prefer audio only, find us on all podcast platforms of POV. And if you're a social media user, find us on TikTok, Instagram, and I guess YouTube does count as social media, doesn't it? And YouTube as well.
Today.
Offbeat POV, except TikTok, Offbeat POV clips. Okay. So I'm going to delve straight in then into modesty in 2024. Now, I want to start this conversation a bit further on than usual because I'm not interested in discussing whether Christians should be modest or not, because I think that's pretty clear. Mm. Yeah, I think the Bible is very clear on that. Mm. If anyone disagrees with that,
tell us why.
Yeah. So I think it's very, very, very clear. What I'm interested in is what modesty looks like in 2024. Because, of course, I doubt what Paul had in mind in like the first, second century is the way the world looks now. So, ladies and gents, what does modesty look like in 2024? So let me break it down a little bit, just so that we have somewhere to stand, right? Yes. And I like this because these are questions that actually come from Christians. So, the first question is, can I still follow fashion trends and still be modest?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can still follow fashion trends and still be modest. I think every trend is alterable to what you are, to what
is
alterable.
Alterable.
To what you are and who you are.
Okay, fine.
And I think in order to be able to follow those trends and still be modest, you need to have a good understanding of what modesty looks like and what modesty means to you as a Christian. So for me, modesty starts from within.
Okay.
So as with the teachings of Christ, a lot of things are within. So whatever is within needs to show out. So what I believe in my heart needs to be reflected on the outside, not vice versa. It's not reflect what you want on the outside, but it's fine. You can believe what you want on the inside. It doesn't. The two have to marry.
Okay. Fine.
So for me, from what I believe on the inside, and how I portray that as modesty on the outside, is there's certain parts of my body are not just going to be showing willy nilly. Because I don't think that corresponds with what I believe about certain things around marriage, my partner, that kind of thing, and how that fits in. What?
No. I was just thinking. Okay, so give me something to bite into. So you said what's on the inside has to reflect on the outside. Okay, so give me something concrete, something to bite into.
So
make it practical.
So I believe beauty starts from within. Mm-hmm. Yeah, beauty is about what you are inside, not what you are outside. So therefore, I don't feel like I need to make sure my boobs are on show or my butt is on show in order to feel beautiful.
Right. Okay.
If I'm to give a concrete example.
Sense. Okay.
But also, I believe that my body is a temple for Christ, but also now that I'm married, my body also belongs to another.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I'm not going to be showing my body to everybody anyhow, anywhere, because of that inside belief. Does that make sense?
I'm not going to
have breasts to the wind, because for me, I that doesn't I don't feel like I'm being respectful to my God, and I don't feel like I'm being respectful to my partner.
Okay, so would it be fair then to say that from what you're saying, modesty is a result on, I guess, I want to say how seriously you take the word, but that's not what I want to say. What I want to say is maybe how you understand.
Yeah, it's how you understand
how you understand the word.
The word of God. Even like in verses like Timothy, it's an emphasis on, it's not about how you've adorned yourself on the outside. You can mm-hmm. adorn yourself on the outside with the finest jewels, the rarest golds, this, that, and the other. But actually, if the inside is rotten, what's the point? So Timothy is trying to tell us, you know, focus on the inside, and then naturally whatever is on the inside will reflect out, and that will guide you, that will be your guide as to what's appropriate to wear and what's not appropriate to wear, what's appropriate to look like and what's not appropriate to look like.
Okay, fair enough. I'll come back to that. Pronik, do you agree?
I don't know if I agree or disagree for now, but here's what I want to say. Here's what I'm saying. I don't want to take you back because I respect where you've started the conversation from.
Mm-hmm.
But let's assume there's a listener who hasn't listened to any of our stuff before, or dare I say it, a new believer, a new convert to the community.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I would want us to quickly and shortly define modesty, right?
Where okay, we're coming fine. From, go for it. Yeah.
So that we can then see what we're talking about. Now, the reason I'm asking this, I'm throwing this to the panel because I don't know how to define it. The reason I'm saying that
mm-hmm.
is because from the question is, can I still follow fashion trends?
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, we are talking about clothing.
Yes.
We are talking about attire. Yeah. We're mm-hmm. talking about how to look like. You know, we're talking about what can I dress and what can I put on and what can't I put on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, based on that, I would say that let's talk about the Western world, for example. Yeah. It's a very, very challenging time to be a true believer in the Western world because the society has done a very good job to make a lot of things that are not okay, okay,
mm-hmm.
right?
100%.
Now, can you still follow the latest fashion trends, you know, even though you are a believer and be modest? Mm-hmm. Well, it depends, is my answer, mm-hmm. you know? The answer would be yes, but it depends.
On the trend?
It depends on what the trend is at the time.
I'll take that, that's fair. That's what I mean. That's fair.
There are certain things you can dress like, and there's certain things you can't dress like. So let me give an example. Again, this is purely focusing on attire mm-hmm. and what Fatane said about exposing your body. You know, there are certain, again, unfortunately, women fall victim to this because, let's be honest, it's technically about women, right? Mm-hmm. There are certain dresses that, you know, that's my leg and your slit is starting here where I can see your whole, your
anatomy.
Your whole butt cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now you are gonna see and someone you aspire to or someone you like, you know, on the red carpet dressing like that, the world is gonna be clapping, oh, she looked really nice.
Mm-hmm.
You can't wear that. You cannot follow that trend. If you're gonna have that particular dress, you can have it, mm-hmm. but your sleeve needs to start at the ankle, you know, or at the knee. You see? So you can look at what the latest trends mm-hmm. and then modify them to suit what a believer, what a child of God should wear. Again, if I'm defining for now, based on the fact that don't expose your nakedness.
Is there an issue with a Christian wanting to follow the latest fashion trends?
My answer remains the same. No, there isn't. But what is that fashion trend? If it's going to lead you to expose your body, that's indecency.
I don't think there's an issue with wanting, but like we mm-hmm. always say, discernment is crucial.
Yes.
Right, and I'll change my answer from the first one based on something Pronik said. So I think you can follow fashion trends, but mm-hmm. discernment is key because yes. you won't be able to follow every trend. If the new trend is, you know, no clothes,
which is where they were.
As a Christian woman, I don't know if that's what Christ or the Bible advocates for.
Mm-hmm.
However, I was reading an article. I will tell Chin where I read it because I can't quite remember.
Yeah,
and they were speaking about, so we had this experience when we went to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of European countries, some of their beaches are like topless beaches. Topless.
Yeah.
And obviously how, because she was, the writer, I think it was a she, was saying that she, obviously she went with her family and it was like, well, what do we do? We're going to be away with the kids. We're going to be on a beach where mm-hmm. boobs are exposed, this, that, mm-hmm. and the other. The boys are going to get tempted or putting them in a situation that's not fair, that kind of thing. They got to this beach and actually they were like, it was the
most natural thing.
Yeah. There was no people being assaulted. No one was just going up to random women, squeezing their breasts. Everybody just did their own thing. Families were playing together while, you know, titties were jiggling. No one was like looking around like, there was no sense of that whatsoever. And I think that what she was trying to say is that really made her question modesty and the human body. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it had me thinking. It's like, actually, what does the Bible say about nakedness and how that...
So from what she was saying, what did you take from it then?
From what she was saying...
What was the challenging thought?
From what I took, the challenging thought was, I think we use modesty... Okay, I'll put it this way. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to sound like pro-Nick, yeah?
Well, that was uncalled for.
In the nicest way possible. Gross.
Welcome to the
conversation. I feel like, from my personal perspective, and I'm sure maybe a lot of Christian girls, specifically in the SDA world, growing up SDA, would agree that modesty was almost used on us to keep the boys straight. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Be modest because you're causing others to sin. Mm-hmm. That was always the reading between the lines situation. It was never about us as the females and what we're presenting. Sometimes, yes, maybe the few occasions, but most of the time it was, well, all the boys would be looking at you if you wear that. You're causing, you're putting yourself in a situation where people are lusting over you based on the way that you've dressed.
Okay. And you're saying that's incorrect. No, not incorrect, but are you saying that wasn't right?
I'm saying that could be a factor, but I don't think that's the message that should be preached, because modesty is about you. It's not about other people. You're not dressing for other. You should be dressing for you, not other people. For you and the God that you serve and the God that you believe. I can't physically make somebody sin. I would say that's all.
Can't you?
Yes, you.
I can maybe contribute, but I think my issue is the fact that it was always in that context of you have to dress a certain way not to make the boys want you.
But then
that skewed the meaning of modesty, because it's almost like, oh, okay, so if I want the boys, I need to dress in a provocative way because that's what's going to get me the attention. It was no longer about, okay, what's inside of me that's causing me to dress the way that I am dressing.
Okay, so devil's a little bit, right?
That could be a devil's a. Could be a lot of things.
Devil's a. What could it be?
It's a Christian podcast, so it can't be a lot. It's definitely not the word you are thinking of. Please continue. Don't worry. Holy water.
Clearly, what's inside is coming out.
Exactly.
Devil's advocate, DA. Okay, so you're saying from your upbringing, the message was about dress this way, because if you dress this way, you're going to be causing lust and temptation in boys.
In
right?
boys, in the men in church.
In men, boys, whatever. So are you saying that teaching was wrong in terms of modesty? Are you saying they got that wrong? Is what I want to understand. Saying they should not have done that?
As a starting point, they got that wrong. I don't think that's when the Bible teaches us about modesty. I don't think the angle it comes from is that. Talks about modesty, from what I've understood, unless I've, you know, question me, challenge me if I've understood it wrong.
We're in the process.
From what I've understood, the Bible and modesty, it's about you as a person. What's inside you and what are you portraying as a result on the outside? And that includes the things that you wear. At no point did I read a verse where it says, don't dress this way because men will lust over you and cause them to sin.
How do you dress like on the inside?
I'm not talking about dressing on the inside.
No, you're saying that what you are inside is what you portray outside.
So what you believe, like the example I gave, what I believe on the inside about certain things, marriage,
hold on, sorry. Let's stick to modesty, clothing.
Yeah.
That's its question. What is it that you believe on the inside that you then bring on the outside in this context?
The example I gave earlier.
Which is?
So, for example, if I believe that my temple, using as an example, my body is a temple for God to dwell in, there's certain things about me I'm not going to expose. Mm-hmm. I'm not going, like the example that you gave, I'm not going to have my butt cheeks hanging out.
Right.
I'm not going to have, you know, wear an all see-through dress with nothing on the inside.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to develop a way of it in the sense that if you have your butt cheeks showing, there's a consequence to you and your community around you as well. Right? And at the end of the day, we are each other's brother's keepers. And strictly speaking, sexually, you know, if a girl or a woman walks into a church exposing bits and bobs that they're not supposed to, she unfortunately, as a consequence, certain men are going to lust, are going to desire.
I'm not refuting that point. The point I'm trying to make is the foundation needs to be correct first, and then you build on the foundation. Things like that are on top of the foundation of modesty. That's an addition. But the foundation of modesty needs to be what the Bible says about modesty. It's not what you look like on the outside. It's what's on the inside that then comes out of you in the way that you dress, in the way that you speak. Did you get what I'm saying? Because my issue is the foundation of modesty, like I said, can only speak for a female that was raised in the church and what I was taught. Unfortunately, the foundation most girls built of modesty was that you are to be modest so that you don't cause others to sin.
Okay.
But that's not the foundation of modesty God gives us. And that's, for me, that's a shaky foundation because then you start going into different angles that are actually dangerous. Because it's, for me, let's say I'm a simple person. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm modest. No boys want me. I'm not modest. The boys are going to want me. That's the two directions you choose. So that, for me, I'm not saying that's, yes, we are brothers keep. I'm not going to dress in a way to make anybody sin, lust after me. That's not appropriate. That's not, again, that's not what's on the inside. If that's what's on the inside, then that is what will come out. But if that's not what's on the inside, that's not what's going to come out.
Am I
making sense?
You are making sense. I think there is a difference between provocative clothing and clothing that someone has deemed provocative and therefore is lusting after, right? Because you are right in that it's not your responsibility to almost second guess your every decision based on. I get that, but we can't deny that there is certain clothing that is provocative in its nature, right?
And that's what I'm saying, that you wouldn't wear those things if you have the right. So, for example, and even the Bible is very clear when it's referring to some situations, it will say dressed as a prostitute. So for me, that already elaborates that there is a way to dress that signals that to somebody, communicates that this is a prostitute. So there's plenty of verses. I was quite intrigued. I was like, oh wow, it's like, literally says dressed as a prostitute or dressed like a prostitute, dressed for prostitution. I was like, oh okay. So there was obviously like you opened with, in Paul's time, he would have been referring to whatever
the outfit for prostitution was at that time, which may not necessarily have been about nakedness. No, I'm glad you say that. In a sense that I'm not disagreeing with you. Again, I'm just trying to widen the picture a bit. Going back to Professor? The guest we had on sex and stuff.
Dr. Johnson.
Yeah, if you are dealing with children, unfortunately you are forced to minimize or demean certain teachings, right? Inward and whatnot stuff may not necessarily land properly until a certain age of discernment, logic, and stuff like that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to shake my head bringing, so vigorously.
It's fine. If you are disagreeing, it's fine. But if you are doing that, you know, it may not necessarily land. But what can land is the simple fact of that there's the right way to dress and the wrong way to dress, you know? Now, unfortunately, it is possible that they went on for too long without explaining, even when you started asking questions, you know, and so on and so forth. And they were at fault for that. But just thinking about it from a grassroots and going based on what you've said, it is fine to teach young girls, for example, this is not the right way to dress. This is how, you know, this is how prostitutes dress, and I don't want you dressing like that. And also there's a consequence in you dressing like that. You know, others might look at you in a different way and so on and so forth. It is still about you as a person. It's not necessarily trying to address the men. And I like what Coach said, because some men unfortunately, with their wickedness, it doesn't matter what you're gonna wear. Yeah, the fact that you're a woman dressed covered up with clothes, they're still gonna be lusting
after. Yeah, 100%.
So we don't talk about those men, or we don't focus on the men per se, but still bringing up that child. For example, if I'm bringing up a son, I'm gonna say, listen, I don't want you to be overly aggressive. That could come across as you know, a threat to women. I want you to portray an aura that shows protectiveness and love. Mm-hmm. So in that, I'm saying that I don't want you to be a danger to women. I don't want women to view you as a threat. Mm-hmm. You see? So I've made that connection there. But what am I trying to do? I'm trying to tell my son, this is what I want you to be.
But the difference in your connection is you're building a foundation that's actually...
No, but
biblical.
I haven't said anything about him on the inside yet. It's outside.
Where are those things going to come from? How are you going to teach? You're going to say, I want you to portray love and kindness and you're going to have to show him what those things are.
Okay, fine. That's a fair thing for you to say. So in the example that I've said, I'm going to tell him that I don't want you shouting when you're speaking. I don't want you, you know, for example, I don't want you to be speaking like, yo, brother, da, 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 da. I don't want you dressing in a bandana. I don't want you dressing in a hoodie, you know. So I'm telling him that these appearances are misunderstood. So I've said nothing on the inside, but I've said that in this society, if you've got a hood on and a bandana on, that's saying gangster.
I think that's a bit different.
No, because we're talking about outward appearances.
I get that, and but it's different in the sense that outward, what you're teaching, I'm not saying it's not biblical. We're discussing modesty in terms of what does God and Christ say about modesty, right? So I'm starting from what you called the grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you can say you need to teach kids in a way that they understand. Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. However, what I'm saying is that foundation was omitted, full stop. Mm-hmm. And you can say that, yes, that was the way to get you to understand that there's a way to dress and a way not to dress by saying, you know, don't dress like that because it makes men weak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying no, there is still a way you can teach your children about modesty coming from the inside and being portrayed on the outside, because that's cause and effect. There is no deep-rooted. So what I would like to think that if I have a daughter, unfortunately this conversation is all, like you already said, is always female. If I had a daughter, I would want to embed in them that it's about them.
Christ-like.
Yeah, it's about them being Christ-like. Mm-hmm. What would the way that you understand God and mm-hmm. the what you have understood about God, how would you dress in the presence of God, mm-hmm. which you are to be in 24/7? Because you don't go away from the presence of God if you claim to be a child of God. Mm-hmm. So at that point, how would you present yourself to God? Mm-hmm. There is still a way you can teach a child that from a young age. It doesn't have to be in those words, but those foundations still need to be set. My issue was our foundation was the way you're dressing. Modesty was in relation to men. That was the teaching. Modesty is in relation to men.
So from what you're saying, then I understand that, which I guess it may explain why.
And I'll give you an example. Let me give you another.
I'm going to back up your point.
Let me just make this example. Okay. So, for example, in the African culture, in the African culture, you be in your house, you be fine. What you're wearing is fine. A male shows up, now you have to go and get a jidenje and put it on.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's that image of this modesty is about men.
But then in that situation, are you saying that's wrong?
That's not wrong.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I get that.
In the presence of a male,
yes.
That can become inappropriate.
Dress. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I get that. But I'm saying that to the teachings of church,
mm-hmm.
modesty is now even being emphasized in our home, that modesty is about men. That's not what modesty is about.
Can I just clarify? The example you gave, are you saying it's wrong for that girl to go put the jitenge on?
No, I'm not saying it's wrong. So then, but I'm saying that when the only teaching you're getting about modesty is in relation to men, if there was an understanding that this modesty, you're going to get this jitenge, not just because there's a man, there's a deeper understanding to it.
What's the deeper understanding?
Like Pronik said, the way you're dressed in front of your husband might not be appropriate to dress in front of another man.
But that's the only understanding that there is. Because why is the lady going to get a jitenge when a man shows up at the house? Because they understand that, or they've been taught, or the culture of the house is that it is not appropriate for you to be dressed like this in front of visitors.
But why?
That's fine.
But why?
It's revealing dressing, or you're revealing too much, or
yeah, it's revealing. Dressing, yeah,
it's just not appropriate for another man. Let's again, in an example of a husband and wife.
So
it's not appropriate for another man to see you dress like that, because, like you said, your body belongs to your husband. So you need to go put on more layers.
But then that missing, you've added that missing link. When you're not taught that link, this, my point still remains. Modesty is always taught as it's about men, which modesty is not. If you go into the Bible, that's not what modesty is about.
Okay, so
yes, men play.
Fair enough.
Men play a part in it, but that's not my argument is that's not the foundation of modesty.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
where
we get it wrong. We're teaching girls to dress for men or not to dress for men. That's not what modesty is about. Yes, that plays a factor and a big factor, but that's not where the foundation should be starting. That's my qualm. I don't know if I've made myself clear. My qualm is
it was
we set
fine
the wrong
until
foundation.
You gave the example because, like I said, you should have let me talk because I was about to support what you were saying until you gave the example. Now I'm like, oh, I don't know if I agree with what you're saying now. Because in the example you gave, I see nothing wrong with that example.
I didn't say there was nothing wrong. I'm not saying that example has anything wrong in it. Okay. My point still remains.
Your point is that modesty has been taught in the context of men.
Yes.
Which is your qualm. I get that.
The foundation is wrong. Not just that. Yeah, the foundation where modesty is taught is wrong. Mm. I want that bit to be clear. The foundation, of modesty. No, the way you condensed it is not what I needed to be clear.
No,
the foundation of modesty
is,
not
of
men.
Modesty being taught in young, in this context, SDA girls.
Just
wrong.
Girl, young girl.
Yeah. Because it's attached to your experience. You know, it's based on men, but it should be based on something else. That's wrong. I think the point.
So you're saying it should be based on. So basically you're saying the girls should be taught their value, the values of their bodies, the value of how they present themselves aside from men. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because what you then find is...
Hang on, which is what I was going to support with, because I was saying that, okay, I understand that you're saying the modesty was taught in context of men. Dressed like this, men work like this. Dressed like this, men work like this. Which could explain why a lot of, I guess, Christian girls, when they get older, they don't really care about modesty because they're like, So what if the man lusts after me? Mm. For them, it's like...
In fact, they
okay.
might want that.
That's, exactly.
They're longing for that. Because they go to uni and it's game over. All their modest clothes are in the bin. They're buying their own little things on Boohoo. And
yeah, yeah. So that's why I was going to say. So, okay, that I understand that point to say that, okay, if that's the only reason you're being given, dress like this so that men don't lust after you. If A, you don't care how you're making John feel in church, or B, in fact, you want John to feel like that, then of course
like
it's going to, that's fine.
Because there's no doctrine or understanding behind that. There's no Christ being preached to you, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not coming from the heart, it's just coming from do this, which is, I guess, that was the biggest problem with the law, right? Because the law says don't do this.
Yeah,
the law doesn't care about how you feel on the inside, you see? Which is fine because it was a tutor, and I guess that's what at the time God wanted. God wanted actions. So that's what I'm saying, that there's a certain period in life you need actions. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't bring children up always trying to reason and logic, because especially if they don't have the capacity to reason and logic.
Yeah, yeah.
For a period of time, it's gonna be John, Mary, we don't do this. Period.
Yeah.
Like 100%. How Dr. Kevin put it.
Yeah.
After this, so this is where I was agreeing with you. So, after a certain point, you then have, as a responsible parent or as a teacher in the community, you know, in the church, you then have to start realizing that there needs to be more substance. Mm-hmm. This person needs to understand.
So what John says, you've got to move on to milk, you've got to start eating solid food.
So at that point now, you start teaching the doctrinal stuff. And that's why, this is what, again, the Bible says, you train up a child in the way of the Lord and they shall never depart. Mm-hmm. That knowledge is part of you. You know, and so on and so forth. So I'm not massively disagreeing with that. I was just saying that in the modern society that we're living in now, based on the question that we started off with, we are actually looking at outward appearances. We are looking at clothing and attires, right? And to be fair with you, if you think about it in a society context, the example she's given of Spain is very interesting. Because what I had in my mind, at the back of my mind, is an African tribe somewhere in South Africa that dresses without boobs, right? And
so without
covering their boobs, for example.
Yeah.
If you go into that society, it's going to be absurd for you that you are, dress. They're going to be like, what are you talking about? This is how we live. And for the men of that society, it's not a sexual thing. So what you realize is that Now, when we're talking about modesty in the context of dressing to cover your nakedness, it can be very subjective based on the culture or the society that you are in, right? Now, we are dealing with the Western world, and we know that the Western world is pushing nakedness. So we know it's an issue in our society. We know that exposing your body is an issue and no one can hide it, right? So in this society, right, unfortunately, we are gonna see that when we talk about modesty, when you talk about dressing and covering up, yeah, there's no context where a believer is gonna say that I'm gonna expose my boobs and that's okay, yeah? That doesn't have a made sense so far. Now, if you want to look at all societies as a whole, then your only anchor is the Bible. And again, what Fatsani said is very, very important. I didn't do that research myself, I confess. So I praise God that you said that, in the sense that it talks about dressed as a prostitute, looking like a prostitute, right? So if you take the biblical context and apply it to the society, yeah, right now, what is big is the fact that you look like an OnlyFans model. You are already saying there's an issue there. There's no way you can say that to a church, oh, but it's okay, it's fine, you're a child of God. No, that means that even in this society, there's something wrong with what you're wearing, you've missed it. You see? So that's how we tackle it, if we're talking about dressing.
Well, I mean, the culture thing is a good example, because can a culture not just be against the word of God? Like, so, 100%, I don't know if I put that correctly.
Yes,
but basically, can the practices of a culture or tradition be directly against the word of God?
It can.
So whereas it's normal, you're gonna like, oh, in this culture it's normal, but it doesn't make it right.
I don't think God excuses culture.
Exactly.
Does he excuse ignorance?
I mean, if we're talking about a culture that's ignorant,
because of lack of knowledge.
If we're talking about a culture that's ignorant, I think that's maybe a different discussion, because there's a reason why you can argue the word has to be preached, right? So if we're talking about a culture that's ignorant, that's fine. But then if we're talking about a culture that, I guess, has, quote unquote, the opportunity to know, but has decided that, no, this is our culture, this is what we do, and that's what they practice, then...
That could be directly against God. So going back to that beach, she was challenged.
To
yes,
that what?
To that beach.
Beach. Hey.
Beach, yeah.
You know? That's not the first time. Yeah, that's
what
he said.
Listen,
she,
it's
Africa. He or she was challenged in their thought, you know, because the norm was women can have their boobs out, but does that mean that she should be, if she's of a believing origin, does that mean that what she was seeing was okay, biblically, you know? I wouldn't say so.
It's okay in that culture, but does it make it okay in the eyes of God?
So if you were going there as a believer, we are going to travel, we are going to go to all sorts of places, I would expect her to be covered.
I don't think she
has to make a decision that I can't go there because I have sons that are 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and I don't want them to be exposed to this, I will say, well done to you. That's good parenting. You see?
Well, it's an interesting conversation. Okay, so I want to double back a little bit, because Pronik referred to it, and I guess it's Fasane's main point. Because you said, okay, let's go back a little bit and let's maybe look at what modesty is for those who may not know or haven't thought about it or are new to the faith. Fatani, you've expressed that the foundation of modesty was incorrect to begin with. Mm. So you alluded to the fact that it's about the person, the woman, the individual, right? So then, if you were to give a summary of what you understand modesty to be or how you would teach it the right way, what would you say? Not to put you on the spot, what would you say?
Dun, 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 dun.
I think what I would say is, are you dressed in a way that's appropriate in the presence of God?
Okay, let me ask you a question then. Because one of the other thoughts that came up was, is there such thing as modesty in the household between a husband and a wife?
Yes.
There is?
Yeah.
Okay, explain that to me. So, for example, would it be wrong for a wife to walk around the house naked? I mean, you can't get any more immodest than that. would it be wrong for the wife to do that?
But then I wouldn't call that immodest because of the context that's already been laid. It's the Jidenje example, isn't it? For those who don't know what a Jidenje is,
it's a covering.
It's a wrap that African women wear.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it has an English word, sorry. It's not a covering. It's not a covering.
It's a clothing.
And
she looking like a snack.
And again, modest will look different in different contexts. This is why I'm saying that, are you dressed appropriately in the presence of God?
Do you want to revise your answer then?
But that's why I asked the question, mm-hmm. because your question was, are you dressed appropriately in the presence of God?
Yes.
So I said, okay, fine. Let's look at a husband and wife in a house.
And that's
their wife is completely naked.
And that's what I'm saying.
That's absolutely fine.
Yes, because
that's, even in the presence of God, that's absolutely fine,
because
right?
Because you're with your husband, yes.
Mm. Right.
It's okay. Like, are you going to have sex with clothes on?
So,
you're not.
I mean, you could, but okay. So I guess your question to your statement, would it be fair to add, are you dressed appropriately in the eyes of God
for the situation?
Dependent.
For the situation you're in,
context
yes.
dependent.
And there's, again, it's the Chidenje example where, in my house, where it's my dad, my mom, my sisters, my brothers, mm-hmm. I might be dressed in a certain way, and that's acceptable within our house in the context of our household. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Any stranger then comes, be it male or female, I might have to then go and change my attire to suit the new context to still remain modest.
Okay, yes, but then if that's the case, the question you asked wouldn't really lead anywhere to understanding what modesty is, because all it communicates to me is that modesty is context dependent. It changes. So if I wear something in the street and my mom says, oh, no, that's not modest, I can be like, no, it is modest because I'm going to Johnny's house. Or it is modest because I'm going to so-and-so's house. Or no, it is modest because I'm going to a wedding. So it does tell me that modest is context dependent.
I think there is still a bar to modesty. Husband and wife, it's tricky because, you know, you're each other, basically.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
So take that out of the context.
It's an extreme example, yeah, but I guess
take
I was just
out,
to
take that
to
out
challenge
of the context.
That.
Mm-hmm. I would still say there is still a bar.
So what we want to understand is what that bar is.
Again, take away husband and wife situations.
Take that out,
no place where I should be fully naked.
Oh, in front of your friends.
Doing what?
Changing, showering, whatever you girls do. Would you say it's immodest for you to be naked in front of your friends? I mean, I don't know if it is or not, but I know you girls do that.
I don't know.
I don't know either. That's why I'm asking the question.
I don't know how to explain it because sometimes you're going to hate the saying. It's a feeling. So me personally.
No, I don't hate that.
I will be in a certain situation dressed in a certain way and I'll feel that I'm dressed inappropriately. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you the factors why mm-hmm. I feel mm-hmm. like. So for example, the way I'm dressed today, on the top, I look fine. I look modest. This is mm-hmm. fine. The way I'm dressed at the bottom, if my dad was to come into this house, I'll go and put something else on. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not really trying to wear shorts in front of my dad.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
There's something in me that would be like, this way that I'm dressed right now is not appropriate for the situation I'm in and the people that are here. For this
situation.
Even if my mom came, I would go change.
Maybe not your mom, but like an auntie or something.
No,
I don't know if my mom came,
because maybe if it was just me and my mom, that's fine. But if my mom came... You're in the house. I'd go change.
But why?
At the bottom.
Well, that's not
again, it just doesn't feel proper to me to be in shorts while she's here and you guys are here. I can't explain it.
And I think this is why there, in my opinion, should be a standard, a universal standard within Christians, mm-hmm. within believers. Because this feeling business is what's leading a lot of us astray, right? Now, if your feelings are rooted in Christ,
would they be the wrong feelings?
And that's the thing. The thing is that we say, it's an extreme example, but why do we have so many denominations? Everyone is claiming to be, we are the true church. We are the true believers. We are the true Christians. We have the true Spirit of God. Yet there are so many of us doing so many things. So unfortunately, when it comes to feelings, you know, you could be right. And to be fair with you, I like what you've said. You know, in most cases, that's how you do go about things, mm-hmm. you know. And again, to support what she was saying earlier, if you've been brought up and rooted in spirituality, the conscious and the spirit in you would direct and dictate those things, mm-hmm. you know. But we're talking about a certain level of maturity in certain people that unfortunately is not present in a lot of Christians. So as leading voices in the community, we are having this conversation so that young Christians, new converts, can learn something. Mm. They can understand something, you know. So unfortunately, we would have to make it clear so that they can understand. Because up until a certain time, going back to the child example, they're going to have to take what is being said by faith, basically. Okay. Up until they're able to discern and understand and grow, and then be able to say, you know what, this is a very extravagant dress, but you know, I'm going to a ball, it's okay. And yeah, indeed, okay, it will be okay.
So are you able to put that bar? Because I guess in essence, this is what I want us to at least be able to touch on.
Thank you for asking that. Yes, I am able to put that bar. And for me, this is the first bar. Yeah, and Fatsan has already touched on it, right? In every society, there is the right and wrong way to dress. That's where you start, right? Mm-hmm. There is such a thing as inappropriate dressing. That's where you start. There are some outfits you cannot wear to work, and you know you cannot wear to work because they are not appropriate for work. How do you know they're not appropriate for work? You see? So it's the same thing. You know, I cannot wear this to church. You know, for example, like what Fatsun was saying, in the presence of God, brackets church.
Mm-hmm.
If you cannot wear that to church, why are you wearing that to the market, for example? Is another bar.
Because it's a different context.
You see? But then what makes it an inappropriate for church, that makes it appropriate for, let's say, going to the market. Those are the kind of questions you'd have to ask.
Let me answer.
To determine whether that's okay or not.
I want to carry on. So, for example, I cannot wear jeans to work. Mm-hmm. It's not acceptable. Mm-hmm. Right, it's not professional, it doesn't communicate a professional message, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's nothing inherently wrong with jeans. I could wear jeans to the market,
mm-hmm.
or heck, I could wear them to a restaurant. Let's say we're going out for a nice restaurant, I could put jeans on, right? But in a workplace, they say no jeans,
yes.
But then, does that mean if I wear them to a restaurant, I've dressed in modestly, or let's say a girl, for example, we'll keep it simple, we'll come to that question later, but we'll keep it simple. A woman cannot wear jeans to a workplace, but let's say she wears them to a dinner. Is she dressed immodestly at the dinner? No, she's not. So to answer your question, then, the reason I'm wearing to the market and not the church is because I feel it's okay for the market, but it's not okay for church.
Fair enough. I understand and respect that point. And I'm seeing that it's adding to what I'm saying, because whatever it is, there's still a bar that is being laid even before you look at let's say, for example, biblical rooted instructions, if they are there. Yeah. The first and foremost is to look in the society itself. Yeah. And there, again, talking about women, there are a lot of clothing that are revealing in so many ways. Nowadays, it's okay for a woman to literally just cover the breast here and have the tiniest short there. They can go out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exposing pretty much every single thing. Side note, I'm intrigued. I've started going to the gym again. I'm so intrigued by women and their gym outfits. And I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to understand the difference between wearing a tight thing that is showing even the design of your behind, the front, everything, versus wearing a tracksuit. Like, are you going to work out any better? Like, does it get in your way of working out? And I'm seeing...
It looks better.
I'm thinking maybe if they are doing squats, the knee gets stuck in the jean, in the tracksuit.
It looks so better. Simply
you see?
Let me put your one thing to end. It looks better. It's as simple as that.
You see? So something like that, you know, these are...
It looks and feels better.
These are things that you can look in the society where you know that, no, this is not okay. You know, so for example...
So you're saying gym wear is not Christian? I'm saying
a Christian believer, yeah? A Christian woman believer would not wear half of the things that society has told us it's okay to wear at the gym. I am saying that, yes. You see? Then the second or third or fourth thing, you can then go into the Bible, again, like what she said, yeah? Dressed as a prostitute, whatever. And then you bring it back to the society. You look at what the society is saying at that time, that prostitute dressed like. This is a measure for me that tells somebody, you know, a new believer, or how you can bring a child up, of things to stay away from. You see? And the basic and most rule, the easiest rule, is if you are covered, you are okay. That's the most basic rule you can give.
If you're covered, you're okay.
If you are covered, you're okay.
What if I'm going swimming?
These we can discuss, because I don't know how they were going swimming in the Bible. Oh. These we can discuss.
Well,
I used to know a girl, side note, one of my first loves at Cornerstone Church.
Your fourth or your fifth soulmate.
I'm not sure what number she was. We went to swimming. I don't know if it was as a church or if it was as friends, but there was a group of people. And she was the first girl that I ever saw who wore a proper shirt, like a t-shirt. It was a long t-shirt and the long biker shorts. Yeah, so the ones that were coming to the knees. and she went swimming in that way and she had a great time. She swam, everything was okay. Yeah. So if you ask me, what if you are going swimming? It's the same thing. We've got to ask ourselves, the swimming outfits that the society has told us, this is how we swim.
Mm-hmm.
Are they appropriate for believers? Are they okay? Questions still remain the same.
That's to be fair, I think that's probably one of the profound statements that you've made. Because it is sometimes easy to be like, oh, well, but this is normal in society. I guess going back to what I was saying about, can a culture be against God?
Mm.
So you can be like, oh, yeah, no, but of course at a beach you wear a bikini. Like that's, if you go to a beach, it's a non-brainer. You wear a bikini. But then I guess what Pronik is saying, but then you have to ask yourself, is that appropriate? As a believer, should I be dressing like this? Which... It's a fair question. I think it's a fair line of thinking.
I guess my number one question would still be, when it comes to modesty, why is it a female driven conversation?
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Men and modesty.
We can talk about men. Okay, because men are doing the most. You think a man plays rather
going deep. Back to swimming and stuff? You go shirtless. Well, why is that? Why is that acceptable?
We can question that as well, because the society told us men can be shirtless.
Or men going, you know, those budgie smugglers.
Huh?
Okay. Well, so that was one of the questions as well, I guess, that I wanted to ask. So does modesty apply to men then?
Yes.
Explain.
You still have to, as a man, you still have to dress modestly. They say, well, if modesty doesn't apply to men, we're saying men can dress anyhow, and they're still modest. So we're saying a man can wear very short shorts, a very tight top that shows off all his muscles, that's cropped, and that's still modest because he's a man.
No.
Then what are we saying?
What we're saying is that the Bible doesn't talk about modesty in context of men.
Does therefore, it not?
You did reading about prostitutes.
No, I'm asking, does it not? So, it didn't specifically look, but are we confident it doesn't?
Not the word modesty, no. Now, that's not to say that there's no standards or principles that men have to abide by and live by, 100%. But I'm talking about modesty in the context of modesty. When you talk about modesty, it's talking about, oh, women don't braid your hair, or don't wear expensive clothes, or don't do your rings. Make sure your beauty is on the inside and not the outward beauty, blah, blah, blah.
But then again,
and then it goes, and for you men,
but then
it goes, talks about, you know, like loving your whatever.
Like you've misquoted.
I've paraphrased. You're gonna get it. Let's actually read it. Can you get the verse?
The message you've portrayed, I don't think that's the message, that, because the message the way you've put it, it's don't braid your hair, don't wear jewelry, don't do this. I don't think that's the message the verse is trying to communicate.
Let's read what the verse is saying.
What's the verse?
Second Timothy.
Oh, that's good.
I think. Second Timothy 3:3.
That's what I would guess as well.
Second Timothy 3:3. No.
I'm not there.
I mean, there's several, but obviously there's flagship ones.
3:3. I'm going to read from verse 1 for context. No,
check it's the right one first. No, 1 Peter 3:3.
1 Peter, okay.
Go 1 Peter 3:3.
This is a good verse.
For the conversation? Or just in general?
Just in general. It's the Perilous Times one. Do you remember it?
Huh?
Perilous Times. Men shall be lovers of themselves.
Right. Oh, is this the one we got wrong the first time?
Yeah, the second Timothy chapter 3. So what are you saying?
Ooh, are you still on that verse?
Yeah.
Read it.
Yeah. Okay. This, in the King James Version, says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away.
The men's load is heavier than modesty.
All you have to
do is cover up.
That's it.
Look at this. Did you hear that list?
Are we saying this men Christian is just referring to the gender men. Huh? So we're saying this man in that verse is referring to the gender men.
That's a fair point. You're talking about a generation.
It's about, it's a generation, but it's not about just
the responsibility. A lot of those, you know,
falls on men, to be fair.
Boastful, prideful, lovers of self. Anyway, that was
side note. That's a generation. That's a...
Granted, that was a side note. That's a Bible studies. Don't take that to heart, people who are listening. That was just a bit of fun.
We just enjoyed that.
We just enjoyed that.
First comment. That second Timothy, you read?
Listen, we're just enjoying the word. Okay, carry on.
Okay, I'll start from verse 1. First Peter 3:1. Mm-hmm. In the same way, wives submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that even if some disobey the word, they may be won over without a word by the way their wives live.
Mm-hmm.
When they observe your pure, reverent lives, don't let your beauty consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes, but rather what is inside the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight.
Okay,
that's not saying don't wear these things. They're saying your beauty shouldn't just consist of that.
And this is why I wanted us to describe.
It's the one you're thinking of is the Timothy one. I'll try and find.
Yeah, and this is why I wanted us to describe modesty, because I was happy to say, okay, modesty in the context of clothing, because in the context of, for example, clothing or nakedness or exposing the body, you see,
as opposed to modest in the context of what?
Okay, in that context is the verse we've just read, mm-hmm. is talking about like what we were discussing last time. It's not talking about exposing your naked body. It's talking about, like, let's say, what's the word?
Okay, should I read this?
Extravagant one? Dressing. No, but there's another word I wanted to use, like
elaborate
dressing. Like the point you made last time, actually it's like your beauty is not on your outward appearance, but rather let your beauty be that of inside.
Yeah. You see? Yeah.
Okay. So we can't use that verse in the context of exposing your body.
Read the second
verse. First Timothy 2:9. Well, start from 8. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the women are to dress themselves in modest clothing with decency and good sense.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Not with elaborate hairstyles, gold, pearls, or expensive apparel, but with good works, as is proper for a woman who profess to worship God.
Mm-hmm. So it's not with elaborate hairstyles. Well, what else?
Read it again.
My point is that the verse says not with.
Also, the women are to dress themselves in modest clothing, mm-hmm. with decency and good sense,
mm-hmm.
not with elaborate hairstyles, gold, pearls, or expensive apparel, but with good works, as is proper for a woman who professes.
Okay. There you go. Okay. So what I want to highlight modest there is with sense. Decency and good sense.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So when we look at the way decency, therefore now we can discuss about that exposing your body, nakedness, and things like that, and good sense also applies a lot to that as well.
But good sense is what I'm saying about the for me, the good sense is that contextual aspect. Because
asking about how you dress, let's say, for example, in their house with your husband. You know, if someone walks in, you would have to cover up, because you are realizing that in the presence of another man, for example, in this context, I'm not decently dressed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to go make yourself decent for that other person. But in front of your husband, you are okay. There was no question of decency there, you see? And that's what would apply also in the other communities and so on and so forth. There's a point down to make, but it's escaped. Go on.
You followed the other point?
No, it was outside this.
No, the other point that you lost.
How?
No, that one came back eventually.
So how did we end up reading the verse? Someone was saying
something.
You
were saying something.
Was that? Okay.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter. Right. Okay. So I guess that was the first question we're talking about. Fashion trends. Can you follow fashion trends and et cetera, et cetera? So real quick then, because I think we've made really good points.
Amen. That's the answer. I think that's the clearest answer we've ever given on this podcast.
Or would that be the same with, because someone else raised the point, would that be the same with like expensive clothes and expensive brands? So they asked, can I still be modest if I love buying like expensive clothes and expensive brands and stuff like that?
I don't think so. I think there's a line there now. Based on the two verses we've read, there's a certain. I think you can be too much.
I think you can still be modest and dress in those brands. I think what the other thing I get from these verses is, if you're standing on top of the hill and saying, "I am dressed in Gucci, I am dressed in Prada," you're not being modest.
Yeah, but you don't. I agree with that. But You don't have to verbally say that. You can say that by just being by
clothing. Yeah.
Your shoes are Gucci. Your bag is Gucci. Your hair is Gucci. I don't know if that's possible. Your eyebrows are Gucci. Your car is Gucci. Like, so you can actually say that.
So even if you're covered, even if you're covered head to toe, you're not modest.
No, no, no. I'm saying is that in those
brands, you're covered head to toe. You're dressed like you shopped in Primark, but it's just the tag in the back of your shirt says Gucci. That's not okay.
I love the verse we've read. It's literally said, "Not inexpensive clothes or attire, whatever word it used." So there is a problem there. So I cannot tell you what it is, but based on the verse, I would say that yes, there's a problem. The chances are, going back to what you were saying, there's something you've misunderstood inwardly. You are seeing the need to have all that.
But then,
arrayed on you.
Devil's advocate. Let's say I started reading too much into this verse. That expensive, is it subjective or is it just communicated? Because what's expensive to you, based on what you have in your bank account, what's expensive to you might not be expensive to me. So if you have 1 million in your bank account and a dress costs £1,000, that's not a dent. That's not expensive to you. That's something you can comfortably afford.
It's a good point, but I would say that collectively, as a society, as people, we know what expensive is and what's not expensive. So you are right in that circumstances will maybe... No. So the only thing that changes is the attitude towards that expensive thing.
Yes.
But the thing still remains expensive, right? Yes. Everybody knows Gucci is an expensive brand.
Yes.
Right? Everybody knows that. Mm. That is why the rich people buy Gucci. Mm. Why? Because they want to communicate that I'm rich enough to afford Gucci easily.
No, that's the poor people.
Yeah, of course. That's a money conversation. Yeah, exactly. That's a different discussion. Yeah. Exactly. But the point is, so we all know what the expensive luxurious brands are. So
the verse stays intact.
So what changes is the attitude towards that expense. If I have 1 million, looking at a 200,000 car, I mean, it's a silly investment, but you know, I probably wouldn't blink as much as if I'm earning 50k, you know. But the car still earning
50k, you still need 150 to buy that car, so you're blinking a lot.
Finance is a thing. Okay, ladies and gents. All right, so I like the way we've tackled the subject, right? And I think if nothing else, it does communicate that modesty is. It is definitely context dependent. And I think it is one of those, it's one of the hard concepts to pin down to say that, okay, universally as Christians, we agree, this is what modesty looks like. I think it's one of those concepts. It's hard to. I think so.
I don't know.
I think if we all look, I wanted to do this. I think I just forgot because I wanted to get pictures from all over the world. For us to write whether it's modest, not modest. Because I think if, from Christian's point of view, if we all look at people dressing, we can all say, yeah, that's modest. I don't know about that. Yeah, that's modest. But they could all be looking completely different. One of them could be dressed from Korea. Someone could be from Nigeria. Someone from America. They're all different attires, different clothing, different apparatus, whatever. But you can still see what modest and what's not, right? Maybe an exercise we can try another time. But I think what I was thinking about, or what I rested on when I was thinking about it, is Romans 12. Romans 12. Yeah, and see if you guys see why. I guess this would be my conclusion to the matter. Right?
Before you conclude, can I add something I wanted to say earlier? Actually, no, never mind.
No. It's not conclusion as in finished, but conclusion in if I was thinking about this, right? Because it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
There you go.
Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Right?
Nailed it.
So
that's what I was saying about the inside.
Yes, I agree. But then the thing is, the reason I found these questions interesting is because, like, oh, can I still follow the fashion trend and still be modest? Or can I buy expensive clothes and still be modest? It's like, okay, they're fair questions, but where are they coming from? Are they coming from a desire to conform to the world? It's like you want to conform to the world but as best as you can as a Christian. Mm-hmm. So you still want to be a Christian, but you want to conform to the world as best as you can.
Is telling you that you shouldn't, but now you are intrigued.
You're trying to compromise.
Does that mean that trend is already challenged? This again, devil's advocate. The trend that you're trying to make Christian, is it because that trend is already challenging your beliefs? Because there's some trends that you might not even have to have that thought. Let's say.
You see, a while back there was out dressing. You're not gonna think
not something like that. Like, let's say there's a trend of Air Forces. Not so long ago, everybody was wearing Air Forces. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would have been a question of.
Oh, it would be.
Why? That's a very. Why did everyone want Air Forces? Yeah. Because it came with status.
Yeah.
It came with a certain. Yeah. If you got Air Forces, that already put you in a certain. Yeah. Standing amongst your peers, amongst other people,
you're not gonna walk.
Imagine, I can't go to that park. The reason why so many young people wanted them is because it they already communicated something.
Okay,
and I guess it's that spirit that you have to question. You know,
I'm guessing that's the spirit of the verse that we read, the two verses we read, because what I'm getting from that is a lot of. Elaborate hairstyles, expensive stuff. You're saying,
exactly.
"Look at me! Yeah. It's all about me. Yeah. Look at me,
exactly.
me."
You're communicating.
So if you're going to church, decked out in all Gucci, head to toe, obviously,
and then you walk from the back and go sit at the front. Everyone has seen you, and now the pastor can see you
because you're shining.
And then your phone rings just before the service, and it's like the latest iPhone. No, this is the Vision ones.
Oh yeah, yeah, the thing. Yeah,
I'm just in church.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you know, I really do like the conversation. I hope our listeners do really take something away from it. Because the thing is, it is a biblical principle. I think people have forgotten that modesty is a biblical principle.
But I think
it's become a throwaway thing. But we have to, it is a biblical principle.
But I also think that the way Christians communicate modesty, it's like you can't look nice. No, that's not what modesty is about.
No, of course not.
I think that's where the message gets lost. It's almost like, to be modest, you have to look like a peasant.
You have to look rough.
You have to look... No, I think that's where also modesty doesn't get its right
acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Because modesty is not saying... You still need to look presentable in the sight of God. You still need to look your best. Don't smell average.
You still need to look good as a human in front of people, whatnot. Yeah. That's supposed to be fine. Did God not tell people to
shower
or wash their clothes, you know, clean your clothes, whatever, for in 3 days I'm going to meet you? So there's still an aspect of presentation itself, which is why...
It's still an aspect. It's a must.
Of course.
Clean.
Of course, yeah.
It's an aspect of... If you tell someone like me to that, you know, I'll come back next month. I didn't feel like a shower this month.
Wow. Which is why...
Didn't feel modest.
It didn't feel modest, to be honest. I was too clean.
Which is why, in closing, it's a bit of a stretch, but just get the point. Remember when Jesus was talking about fasting? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, when you're fasting, don't you know, not
wear
eat, not put thing or whatever, so that people
see. Don't look like you're fasting.
You don't know look what like your problem.
So what's he saying? There's a way where you can look malnourished, where you can look unkept, where you can look like you're going through hard times.
Hey,
that's the point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Abdullah,
you can look like you're going through hard times. Exactly. But God said, no, don't look like you're going through hard times. This is actually the time to look. Yeah, look yourself.
Just to add on that, and this is why that verse you just ended with is important, or rather, the point of why do you want to look like that is important, because he is saying that he knows you're gonna be starving, you know, so he knows you're gonna be malnourished, for example.
You're not malnourished, you're fasting.
Are you not becoming malnourished?
My friend.
Not the fasting people do where they eat at 5 a.m.
He's saying that, so he knows you're going to look like that. And his point is, don't make that obvious. So it's almost a complete opposite to why you might want to wear Gucci, for example. Why you might want to have the most elaborate. He's saying that, don't stand out so that people are asking,
what's wrong?
On?
It's standing out of the opposite spectrum.
Look normal. So God doesn't want you to be on, just look fine. It's between you and your God, you know? You fast, and it's indeed even about prayers. Don't pray in the middle of the streets, saying 1,000 words. Go lock yourself in your room. Go close your closet and talk to your God. You know?
Okay, dokie, ladies and gents, that's what Offbeat POV has to say on modest. I really enjoyed this conversation. Let us know what you think. I don't think I can add any more, to be honest with you. Catch us next week, sometime, someplace. Big episode comes out on Thursday. But do follow our YouTube channel and our Instagram pages and our TikTok pages, because we always have something there for you. Ladies and gents, last words?
No.
No excuses. If you are a true believer, rooted in the spirit, you know what is right, you know what is wrong. And if you don't, just remember, if I can see it, it's wrong. If I can see it, I shouldn't be seeing.
Maybe don't go away with that.
Go away with the last verse.
But yeah, ladies and gents.
To be fair, okay, we've closed now. Maybe a question for another.
Last. Go on.
That's not going to
happen. When men are picking a life partner, should modesty be on the list?
Always. Like I said, it's a biblical principle. If you're a man looking for a woman and who's not looking for biblical things, then what are you doing?